2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry. Thank you so much for tuning in. I very much enjoy this segment. We call it A Day in the Life. We've been looking at the different races right now, political races playing out in the state of Utah. We've spoken to many congressional candidates. We've spoken to others and will now speak with Sean Reyes, currently Utah's Attorney General, running to retain that seat. Very grateful to him for his time. Sir, how are you? Welcome to the program.
I'm doing great, Lee. Yeah, thanks. It's crazy right now. Schedules are unbelievable, but yeah, always a pleasure to come on.
I believe it. Let me first ask your reaction to something which broke here just this morning. Aaron Shammo, the Cottonwood Heights young man convicted of selling millions of dollars of painkillers laced with fentanyl on the dark web, received a life sentence in prison. What's your reaction to that?
I think it's a very just sentence, Lee, not just from a legal standpoint, but in terms of the cost of personal lives. If you think about the tragedy, it's a tragic case all the way around, and none of us delight in a sentence that will incarcerate a person for life. I'm sure his family is suffering. It's tragic for his family, but for all of the families who've lost lives, all of the victims of his continuing criminal enterprise, and we're talking about ones that we know of, and many, many, many others that we may never know about, that the devastation and the carnage is indescribable and immeasurable.
All right. Now let's talk about campaigning. You're no stranger to campaigning. You, a Republican, have successfully run for the office of Utah Attorney General a few times now, and you're in the midst of trying to retain that spot, facing Greg Skordas, your Democratic.
Are we running a camp with COVID and with all the cases we have? Yes, we're in a campaign. Well, but, I mean, there's so much going on.
that's my question. Thus far, what's been the toughest challenge during this campaign compared to your prior campaigns?
Boy, I mean, absolutely COVID, Lee. I mean, my philosophy, let me step back, though, and say this, and I'm not trying to be glib, but my philosophy has always been to do my job extremely well, the job that the people elected me to do. And if I work hard and get results, I always feel like I'll be rewarded by the voters. And in order to do the job that they elected me to do during this COVID crisis, it's not just the obvious health threats and impacts, but so many of the other cases that we have, so many of the other ways that we defend and protect the citizens and the families and the business of the state of Utah have been impacted by COVID, either because people's guards have been let down or frauds have been perpetrated or more child sex predators or traffickers, whether it's human traffickers or drug traffickers, are out on the prowl. It's we're having to work and do a lot more with less because resources are at a premium. The legislatures had to cut back on budgets. And so I'm like everyone else in my office. I don't expect them to work after hours and stay up all night and work all day if I'm not doing the same. So you asked me what a day in the life is like. Yesterday's a good example. You know, I was up at 5 a.m., got into bed 3:30 a.m., so it wasn't a full night's sleep. It was a nap, finishing reviewing cases, documents, administrative work, and then had a 7 a.m., political event. It was a meeting to be interviewed by a group of people that had interviewed my opponent. So was able to fit that little bit of campaigning in early before the day got fully started, and then work all day into the night. Got to bed well past midnight last night into the wee hours of the morning, and it just a constant cycle like that. Tonight we'll be on surveillance with my team. Can't talk about the case specifically, of course, but we'll be out tracking predators and making sure that everything's done the right way constitutionally But that my people, and I think it helps their morale when I'm out there with them as well, Lee.
You'll be out there. You'll be out there yourself.
Absolutely. That's how we roll in the AG's office. That's how we've gotten so many results. And again, you have to, I respect the process, and it's a privilege to be able to run and campaign. And I do as many campaigns events as I can. But my number one job is to protect the citizens, the people of Utah. That's what I got elected for. And I made a commitment when I did that I wouldn't let campaigns or political issues or events get in my way. And I think I've lived up to that. And hopefully the people understand that. And hopefully, and we have a debate coming up soon. They told me he'd be asking me about that. So that's an opportunity for me to take a step back from work and talk about issues.
Yeah,
with the people.
You mentioned your opponent in the debate. Greg Skordas, your opponent, appeared on KSL television last night, as did the executive director of the Utah Debate Commission. I want to give you a chance to respond to some of what they had to say. The topic of the Matt Gephardt report was the scheduling of your debate, which is currently scheduled to take place next Wednesday, a week after ballots arrive in mailboxes of Utahns. The scheduling of the debate itself has also come up. Nina Sliding with the Debate Commission told Matt Gephardt that you requested the September 21st debate to allow you to attend your father's funeral. Greg Skordas, your opponent, is questioning that and saying that you misled everyone. What do you say to your opponent when he makes that accusation?
Yeah, it's not a September 21st. I don't think September 21st was ever a discussion. So October 21st
I'm sorry.
We're debating.
October 21st is what I meant. I'm sorry. That the claim is that you requested October 21st to make it possible to attend your father's funeral in Hawaii.
Let me address that. And let me also say, I think my team put out a statement, which I fully agree with and concur with. I like to debate. I've been doing events along with my opponent. We did one recently with the Salt Lake Chamber of Commerce. We did one with the Tooele Chamber of Commerce. The event I talked about yesterday was to a group of Park City Summit County citizens who interviewed us both. Been just doing interviews recently with KCPW, KUER, where they ask us the same questions. So there's no question that I'm out there, I'm willing to debate, and I encourage everyone, if you're undecided, and frankly haven't, if you're early voting, wait, watch all of the debates, not just mine next week, but there's a debate 2 days before mine, a congressional debate, there's a debate, I believe, today, there's debates going on right now.
The question here that has arisen is whether or not you did in fact travel to Hawaii to attend your father's funeral. And I know it was a sensitive thing to bring up, and it was a sensitive thing to be at issue and to be questioned by your opponent. But it does raise the question. If your claim was that you needed the date of the debate to be scheduled October 21st to accommodate that travel, my question is, did you travel to Hawaii?
So again, let me answer this clearly. The debate dates that came out without consultation with our team in July, I believe, the end of July, the commission sent out dates and said this is the proposed slate of dates. My father, it has been a very difficult campaign cycle, losing my hero, passed away. We have not been able to get the clearances that we need to go into the state of Hawaii and lay him to rest. And we had windows at that time with my family schedule, not just my own personal schedule, extended family, of a couple of weeks within the early part, latter part of September, the early part to the middle of October, where there was a likelihood that we would all be able to attend to that very personal family matter. And so what we had expressed to, and this is my team, I did not discuss this directly with the debate commission nor Nina, although she and I had a conversation just recently at the vice presidential debate. But what my team had said is, look, there's going to be a high likelihood if we are able to work everything out with the state of Hawaii, with everybody's schedules for burying Sean's father, that if we commit to this date, that's something they're not going to move. And we'll have to pull out of the debate, and that'll be a conflict. Right. What would you prefer us to do? Would you rather have us commit to that date with likelihood or the very likely possibility that we will have to pull out or can we find another date? And from what my team had communicated to me, they were happy and willing to find another date. They selected the 21st. It wasn't a date, just any magic about the 21st. That was the date that they had proposed. And we said that works with the schedule. We're hopeful that everything will be worked out and be arranged. Well, as it happens with a lot of things in COVID, the best laid plans, we still to this date have not been able to lay him to rest in Hawaii. And I'm still, and if all things, Lee, coalesce, and within the next couple of weeks, that's able to happen, or trust me, nothing is going to take precedence over that. Family matters more than even cases, even radio shows, even debates, and even elections. And so we wanted to do the right thing from the beginning and give them the chance to say, is it better for us to commit and then potentially pull out? Or is it better for us to fix on a date when we're pretty certain that it will either it'll be done or we'll with other schedules that we're aware of with family members that we'll have that opening to do the debate? And that's what they agreed to. So I don't think there's a controversy about it. I understand my opponent wants to make it an issue. And, you know, I don't know why KSL's or Mr. Gebhardt's making it an issue. But we've wanted to debate. We're going to debate. There are other debates that were scheduled by the commission after the ballots were being released. So, I mean, it's not, again, something that we did and asked for that was special treatment. I'll emphasize, they sent us the dates without calling us in the first place. And had we had a chance to talk to them beforehand, it wouldn't have been an issue of issuing a date and then moving it, because we would have told them we wouldn't be able to participate, or if we did, we would like to have to pull out. And they had that choice, and they selected to go for the October 21st date. So, and we're asking people to tune in. I think it'll be good. And I'll be working hard up to that. Hopefully I'll have some time to prep for the debate, because as I'm telling you, these are 16, 18-hour workdays right now with COVID. And I think the people of Utah are appreciating that I and my team are out protecting the state right now.
Sir, our time has expired. Let me, in parting, reiterate what I said to you in March when I learned of the tragic news of the passing of your father. I mourn with you, and I'm so sorry for your loss. And I hope that you and your family do have the opportunity when it's possible to lay him to rest properly. And no one will fault you for adjusting schedules for that, I am sure. Thank you for your time. Best of luck in your race,
thanks,
sir.
Lee.
All righty.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great one. Bye.
All right. Sean Reyes, Utah Attorney General. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, I'm going to wrap up some thoughts here on this topic. And then we're going to look at Russia's interference in the U.S. election. Yeah, that topic has found new life. Head of the FBI, the National Security Advisor to the President, they're talking about it again in new terms, and I'll share those with you next on Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry, and this is KSL News Radio.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.